Steven is an owner-operator truck driver.
Hiya, folks.
Steven traded up to GEICO for serious commercial insurance for both his truck and cargo, all for a seriously great rate.
Ooh, I got one.
Got one what?
A good pun.
This isn't one of those ads.
There's something wrong with that forklift, but it's a giant fork you can't lift, right?
We take commercial insurance very seriously here, Steven.
I'm only semi-serious, huh? You get it?
I see what you did there. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
This is Robert.
Hey there.
Robert is an over-the-road trucker. He takes his business very seriously.
Yes, I do.
Robert traded up to GEICO for serious commercial coverage, insuring not just his truck, but his cargo too, all for seriously low rates, with serious savings for his inspection history.
So, they're going to be a talking animal with a catchphrase like an armadillo?
What the armadillo?
There he is.
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
Aww.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
You're kidding, huh? You're kidding, right? This is how the season's going to go. This is how it's all going to transpire. Sacramento Kings fall apart in another close game. Up 10 with 2:46 to play against the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons score 17 points in the final 2:46. Malik Beasley gets red hot. Jaden Ivey with a 3-1. A foul by De'Aaron Fox when the Kings were up 3 at the end of the game. Ivy makes a free throw. Kings lose 114-113. Now 6-12 at home. They're 13-18 on the season, and they seemingly find new ways to lose all the time. After what happened last game when the Pacers came to town and smacked them around in the second half, the Kings' offense did exactly the opposite of what they did in the first half of this game. They missed shots. The ball stopped moving the same. The pace stopped. Oh, and then the Pistons, the young Pistons. I think their average age is just under 25 years old. One of the youngest teams in the league looked like the veteran team come closing time. And the Sacramento Kings wilted under the pressure. Even without Domantas Sabonis there, they should have won this game. And now the season is free falling. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Hi, Mo.
Hi, Deuce Mason. I know you didn't ask, but not good.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And I think the most frustrating thing about tonight, the Kings need to be the desperate team right now all the time. If you're down 15, you're up 15, or like in this game when you're up 19 points, you have to play desperate all the time. Why? Because you had lost 4 in a row at home coming into tonight. But no, it's the inexperienced team that played harder and with more force on the road, down 19, out-executed you, made the right plays, and come winning time, they got it done. You're the team right now, right? You're the team right now that has to start putting it together, yet you are folding. And with the game on the line, you're up 3. Everybody in the building, everyone at home goes, hey, just don't allow a 3. Mm-hmm. And don't foul a 3-point shooter. Mm-hmm. What happens? They foul a 3-point shooter.
Correct.
De'Aaron Fox fouls a 3-point shooter and 1. leading to a loss.
It was the worst way you could have possibly lost that game. Like, losing that game was going to be bad, but that was the absolute worst way you could have lost that game. And I think because, one, it's a fundamental thing, like you just said, the entire arena, even like the youngest hooper in that arena knew.
He did the math.
What they were supposed to do.
One, two, three. You can't allow a three, right, Mom?
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And the worst part, but that the second worst part about this, it was your best player on the team that did it.
Yep.
And it just, it hurts so bad when you see that. One, because you think about Mike Brown, this losing streak, the drama, if you want to call it drama, the talks or whatever, since De'Aaron has been on Draymond Green's podcast and Rich Paul was in town and all these different things. And then you just see this uninspiring play at the end of that game. And it hurts. Like, how you're not locked into that play. Again, they didn't lose that game because of that play. They lost that game in the second half, in the fourth quarter. You look at the last 6 minutes, the way that they weren't pushing the pace. They had five turnovers in the fourth quarter, not taking care of the basketball. There was not urgency on Malik Beasley in when he was making every goddamn three that he was taking in the final few minutes. In every single one of these things, I would expect from a bad team. I just didn't think the Sacramento Kings, with the individuals they have on their roster, were a bad team. They're starting to go
A bad team. They're a bad team. And something you just brought up is exactly right. The optics for De'Aaron right now are awful. They're just awful, right? Because the Draymond thing comes out and, you know, you're on your podcast, his podcast, talking about your future and holding the franchise accountable, right? Like saying, hey, like, I want to see a winner produce. But here's what I do know. You have to, if you're the best guy, you have to control what you can control too. Yeah. And I had what he said on Draymond's podcast, I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, okay, he kind of said that before the season. I get it. But now you gotta back it up too. And you have that happen. And then you mentioned Rich Paul in town. The Athletic puts out a piece by Amick and Slater talking about Rich Paul meeting with Monty McNair and the Kings front office, kind of like, what's next? Well, what's next was more Kings losses. And then you go to the end of the game. Look, man, Jaden Ivey is turned into be a pretty good player.
Sure.
Which is another story, but he can hit a corner three. We know this. You cannot play off of him in that situation. There's just no way. Why are you helping off? If you allow a 2-point shot, fine. You'll live with it because you're up three. The last thing you can do is give up a 3-point attempt, and especially one in the corner. So Fox is playing off. Trey Lyles is the one on Beasley, I believe. Being big, trying to make sure to contest it. And then he finds Ivy in the corner. Fox closes out. Ivy with a brilliant play. Tip his cap. A veteran play. Pump fake. Gets De'Aaron to leave his feet. Fox comes down. Tries to avoid him, but then touches him.
Yeah, that was... I didn't understand that.
So you foul him and won. That's not being locked in. So from an optics standpoint, it's like, okay, where's your head at right now? Are you thinking about the future or are you staying locked into the present? Well, tonight, it did not look like you're being locked into the moment where you have to lock in. That's a mistake you expect like a young player to make, right?
Yeah.
That's one if Devin Carter's playing, oh man, Devin with a rookie mistake.
Well, I said this on the post game and I said, everyone makes mistakes. Like everyone makes mistakes. But because you are where you are, every mistake right now in a 5-game losing streak is going to be amplified by a million. It doesn't matter if it's a missed clutch shot, if it's a bad defensive play at the end of the game, if it's a bad coaching rotation, whatever, a turnover, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is, people are going to look for a solution, an answer, a change, and that's when scary times come.
Well, let's hear De'Aaron Fox and what he had to say after this Kings loss and what happened at the end of the game.
Thank you, guys.
What did you see on the final play with the corner three from Jaden Ivey there?
It doesn't really matter. It's not going to make anybody feel better, so.
De'Aaron, where's the frustration level at for yourself and for the locker room right now?
We knew this was a game that was winnable. We gave ourselves a chance to win going into the fourth quarter, and we didn't do a good job.
Mike was pretty critical of just the lack of fight down the stretch from you guys. Did you feel there was a let up there on your guys' end when it came to that?
We gave up 40 points, so we did a much better job in the second and third quarter, and we didn't do that to start or finish the game.
Fox, the clutch, both offense and defense, is stuff Mike's talked about too, but it's clearly taken a step back this season with the implementation of DeMar DeRozan, or whether that's involved or not. What's just your perspective on this team in the clutch in a moment or an area where you were so good a couple of years ago and this year just have struggled so much?
We got to be able to finish games better. Know where the shot's coming from, and we have to be able to get stops.
Just where do you feel like this one landed with your guys after the game, just the shock of this amid this kind of five-game skid now?
I think everything that could have gone wrong in the fourth quarter did. So, like I said, we gave ourselves a chance going into the fourth, and we just didn't do a good job of it.
De'Aaron, what do you feel like has to change right now? What do you guys have to do?
I don't know.
Yeah, De'Aaron, where do you go from here? Like you said, I don't know just now, but what do you do as kind of the leader of the team to move on for Los Angeles?
Just try to be ready to play.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going back one more time. We're just going to want to hear this first answer.
De'Aaron, what did you see on the final play with the corner three from Jaden Ivey there?
It doesn't really matter. It's not going to make anybody feel better, so.
Morgan?
I want to cry.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that because we've all seen Fox just grow tremendously on and off the court over the years. And to see him go back in this moment crushes my basketball soul. And I understand. I mean, we all understand every frustration being the best player out there and you screw up on that final play and still understanding that it's not all your fault. But this is what separates truly leaders and the best of the best players in the league when you can accept that accountability. And I know he's there and I know he's got that, but it just, do I after that answer? That sucks.
And it does matter. You know, accountability is the word. Okay. Accountability. Yep. And look, saying my bad is not going to get it done. You still have a loss. But you know what you say? I fucked up that last play. And I can't, as a leader, have those type of mistakes happen.
Yeah.
When you see that, type of reaction tonight from De'Aaron, I'm sorry, man. Even as De'Aaron's supporters, you look at this and go, is he engaged right now?
Because he is better than that. Yeah.
He should be better than that. And like, if you want to be a guy, like, you have to be better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's just, to me, that's disappointing. That was disappointing. Some of the mistakes at the end of the game, disappointing. That play at the end on Ivy, disappointing. But, you know, the I don't knows, you're not going to like the answer, so it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. It does.
And I think that's the other thing. There's some people, sure, he doesn't want to be talking to and giving an answer to, and then they're just not really going to understand. But there's people that do want to know what the thinking was in the moment, or if it was just a brain fart, or if it was like I thought I needed to help, or I was ball watching, or whatever it was, because one of those things happened. His feet were planted in help in that moment. They weren't bouncy. He wasn't moving. And his body shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah. I think the other thing, going back to the optics too, look, if you're going to be so open and talk about your future and what the team needs to do on a podcast,
yeah,
with Draymond,
I know
you can be a little more open and hold yourself accountable in a post game like that. I don't know. Just a bad look. And, you know, maybe if that podcast interview doesn't come out, we're not having the same conversation, the Rich Paul story. Maybe the conversation is different. But the reality is that's where we're at. And that's what fans look optics. At. When it's the optics. And that stuff does matter. And that looked bad tonight. Let's hear what Mike Brown had to say. He was not happy after this game.
Obviously, tough game. Jaden shouldn't have had a opportunity to even shoot a three because we told our guys, first of all, if somebody catches and their back's to the basket, foul them. And they dribbled for 8 seconds and we didn't foul them. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, you know, if you're up three, you got to guard your man at the three-point line. And there should be no closeout opportunity. No closeout opportunity. We told them that they know the only thing that can hurt us is a three. And, I need to go back and watch the film to see exactly where Fox was, but there was no reason for there to be a hard closeout. We were okay with them scoring a two at the rim, so you should not be in position to help at all. You should be hugged up to your man at the three-point line. Everybody should. And why there was a closeout by Fox, I'm not sure. I got to go back and watch the tape. But for sure, 100%, we told our guys, can't give up a three. Can't give up a three. Can't give up a three. Stay connected. Stay on the high side. Stay on the high side. I even drew an example of if your guy's on the floor, just hop on his high side. The only thing that can hurt us is a three. And we close out and we foul with 3 seconds to go. It's tough because we keep telling our guys, you got to pay attention to the details. Try to do it for as close to 48 minutes as possible. We're not going to do it for 48 minutes, but let's try to do it as close as we can. And to relax like that at that point in the game was tough. I also don't like the pace that we had the last 6 minutes. We kept telling our guys, push it, push it, push it. Drive it, kick it, just like we did most of the game. Drive it, kick it. And we come to a complete stop with about 6 minutes to go. 3 minutes to go, we're rolling the ball and walking it. Going against a set defense every time. Somehow, some way, we got to pay attention to details for a little longer. Especially down the stretch of a game. And we got to keep our pace up. That's who we are. Tough loss that, at worst, should have gone into overtime. At worst. Because there shouldn't have been a closeout to any. There shouldn't have been a closeout to any three-point shooter.
Just where was the shell shock after that in the locker room? I mean, do you get a sense of that at all from your guys?
It's a tough loss, especially when we controlled the game like we did, and then we come to a stop at the end in the fourth quarter. We give up 37 points. 37 points. And part of the 37, like, we got to have some form of mental toughness. We're getting hit with screens, and we literally, Sean, we literally stop. Stop and look and complain to the referee. That's not winning basketball. Somehow, some way, we know a team's going to fight. We know the game's going to get physical. We can't look at the refs asking to bail us out on the offense end of the floor or on the defense end of the floor. Blake Beasley hits four threes. Sit on his high side. Make him go back door. Make him shoot a layup going back door. But don't keep chasing him. He's a good shooter, but when he gets going, it's hard to turn the water off. I just, you know, I'm amazed at how we played going down the stretch. And the fight not being there. And I say that because there were numerous times where we stopped trying to get a call and didn't just play through it. Bring the physicality to them.
Mike, a couple games ago, you said you didn't yell at the guys afterwards because they knew the mistakes that they made. Again, you said they know they're not supposed to leave their man from the four-point line. They still end up doing it. How else can you get the message across to this team? Does a loss like this and kind of the pain of this have to be what it takes to get them to kind of wake up, I guess?
I hope so. It's just, again, this shouldn't have been a closeout on the lap. And that's not where the game was lost. It was a huge play when you're up three. Yeah. Huge play. Shouldn't have been a single closeout on that floor at the end of the game. But having said that, I don't know why our pace wasn't there. And our physicality defensively, where we want to go win the game and not ask the refs to help us win the game, wasn't there. And I'm disappointed in all those things. Maybe a loss like this helps us. I don't know. But we got to wake up.
Yeah, they do got to wake up. And this is what's such a joke. This is such a joke. This is the type of shit that costs a coach's job. Tell me what Mike Brown said that was wrong. These guys got to lock in. This is not a young team, okay? If De'Aaron Fox is a guy, you got to lock in. If Malik Monk is a guy, you got to lock in. DeMar DeRozan, all these guys, put your big boy pants on. If something is not going right in the game, if the pace is not there during the fourth quarter, someone's got to say, let's pick up the pace in the huddle. This can't just be on the coaches all the time. It pisses me off so much that these are the things we talk about after the game. We're talking about boxing out, not playing off three-point shooter, how to close out the right way. This is fundamental stuff. You need to take some pride if you're a team that is falling apart. If you're trying to turn this season around, you don't see any of it. It's embarrassing.
Well, just like he said, when there's 3 minutes left and they're rolling the ball up the court into a set defense, like, do you need a coach to hold your hand and say, no, we don't do that. We keep playing with pace. Like, these are the things that you should already know. One, yes, is his standard, but two is the style of play that helped you get the lead in the first place. So I understand being like, oh, let's slow it down because we have the lead. No. Because when you do slow it down and you play a different style, then you're not scoring on one end. And then you're also somehow don't have the same urgency that you need to have on the defensive end. He said it, Beasley, knocking down all those threes. One, where is the urgency to make sure that you are guarding these tough shots that he's making? Deuce and I were looking at some of these even in the postgame show, and there was one where he had this sidestep dribble, three-point shot. Keegan, you know, went up for the pump fake. And then Keegan still recovered nicely, but Beasley was already feeling it.
He's a tough shot maker.
And my point to that being, at that point, you have to almost run him off the line and allow him to, like, take a couple dribbles in and try and do something else in the middle, you know, because one, a two is less than three, but also this guy has the hot fucking hand.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand.
There was one play where they said two at Cade, and Cade, who's having a hell of a year, all-star level player this year, just found Malik Beasley, who was open, and the Kings recovered, but he caught it in rhythm. Bang, yes. Three. The execution. There's too many vets on this team to excuse, like, the mistakes that we see late in games. You're now 3-11 in these games. I saw a Will Z stat that about made me sick, Morgan.
Oh, great. This Love Will Z.
Will Z on it with the stats, okay? I'm going to dig this up here. The Sacramento Kings are the first team to lose 11 games by 5 or fewer points in the first 31 games of a season since the Denver Nuggets did it in the 96-97 season. It's just the 8th time in NBA history that that's happened.
Cool, Will Z. Great stat.
So, I don't know, Maury. It's just frustrating, man. And I know we try to have fun on the pod and have a good time, but dude, like, I don't know what to say. Like, this is just one of those moments where you're just like, how? Like, the Denver game was bad enough when you're up 10 or whatever they were with 3 something to play and lost that game. They should have lost that game. And then the Lakers games. And then you had the the Pacers game where you get obliterated in the second half. And that's where, again, I just struggle with, like, from a, just a competitive team, like competitive spirit standpoint, okay? Like, you, whether you're high on this team or low on this team, if you're up in a, they did enough in this game to get up. They were up 19 at one point.
Yeah.
As a competitor, there has to be a sense of fire and desperation. Like, if I'm getting fired up in these situations.
But a sense of desperation, not just in this game, but understanding that you are on a very awful losing streak.
Yeah.
So the desperation to stop the bleeding, to save Sacramento, to allow the beam to shine bright on a foggy freaking day. Like, all these things, and you know that these players take pride in this stuff, but for right now, it's not, it's never, that's the other thing. I'm never questioning their physical effort on the floor. And I love that that has been a theme of most of this year. I question them being a good basketball team because of the way that they can't find a way to win winnable games. It's a game of runs. Understand there's going to be the ups and downs, but it's about finding the way to win. But then I also do question at times their mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me is so depressing because I really feel like there are so many hoopers on this team that love the sport, love to play for one another, have that type of competitive nature, but don't have the type of fire to just, like, I don't know, uppercut some random person on the floor. I'm not, violence isn't the answer, but at this point, I'm choosing violence to go forward.
King scored 45 points in the second half. They were just 4 of 18 from downtown in the second half. They had five assists in the second half.
Awful.
8 turnovers.
Awful. Awful. Like, you're not taking care of the basketball. You're not playing with the same flow. I don't understand. In the Pistons, it's not like their defense was taking you out of your rhythm, out of your offensive flow. You were able to still do the same things. You just weren't as locked in as you were in that first half. And by the way, in that first half, when you and I were on NBC Sports and we talked about it at the halftime, you were like, Morgan, if I were to tell you De'Aaron Fox has 1 point and no Domas Sabonis and the Kings are up 15 or whatever they were up, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't believe it. And that was the case. And then De'Aaron started picking things up. Still no Domas. Trey's knocking down his threes. All these things are going in the right direction. But then the Pistons have a different type of fire to grind it out and find a way to get so many different wins, especially in the last 5 games.
The Pistons won 14 games all of last year. Tonight, they won their 14th game of the season. Congratulations to the Detroit Pistons, who are 14-18 and have a better record than the Sacramento Kings. And they have won 4 of 5, including road wins against the Suns, Lakers, and now the Sacramento Kings. But this is a game they should not have had the chance to win. Nope. They play their ass off. And they keep fighting. And that's the mark of something special brewing in Detroit when you've got a player in Cade Cunningham fighting the way he does. I guess the Thompson twins, whether it's Asar here or in Houston, the Thompsons are freaks when it comes to defensive end.
Yep.
Malik Beasley's been a great pickup for them. Jaden Ivey. Let's go back to that for a second, too. Because we talk about late game execution. A couple of things. 107-97, Ivy has a turnover. Fox took a bad three. No need to take a three there. That seemed like, what's going on here? That was with 2:46
to
play.
Was that the pull-up three?
That's when it all started slip-a-sliding for Sacramento. You know, of course, it's 107-102 with 2 to play. Beasley hits a three. Oh, my God. Beasley just got it going. He had 3 threes. But then it's 111-108 with 18.7. This is just like this. I'm reading back at this and about to puke. They're up 3 with 18.7 to go. Mm-hmm. Jaden Ivey, miscommunication, I guess, with Fox and Lyles.
Oh, the take to the basket.
And Ivey just
line drive.
Hard take. The easiest score.
Quick score. Easy score.
Quick score to cut it to 1 just like that. Now, Herter gets fouled, goes to the line, makes two to make it 113-110, then we know the end result. But, yeah, Jay and Ivy, I mean, two plays late for Jay and Ivy that were just head-scratching. Like, how did he get that easy of a look at the rim in that key moment of a game? Like, you have to be... You don't know that a screen could be coming. You don't think Jay and Ivy might be getting freed up with the screen to get downhill? Like, details.
He's quick. He's explosive. Yeah.
Something else I looked at, too. Sacramento won 46 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
For Sacramento to reach 46 games, which was playing last year, they would have to finish the year 33-18, a winning percentage of 647. That's a perspective I wanted to offer you guys tonight. To match last year's win total, this team would have to wake up and go 33-18 the rest of the way. We got to be honest about the situation. This is not good. They have a lot to figure out here with what direction they want to go. Because for a while, you know, I think everyone was like, hey, man, make a swing. Take a swing. This team's good enough. Let's see what it does. But the way this season's sliding... there's got to be bigger questions about, do you want to continue with this growth? Do you start selling off pieces and start thinking long term?
Yeah.
Making some dramatic tweaks. Before it was like, hey, just add us a wing and some size and we'll see what it looks like. I don't think those questions could be happening at this point.
Well, the amount of times that I felt throughout a lot of the troubles in this season, like, they're going to be fine. They're going to be I felt that from the bottom of my heart. Yeah. Like, they're going to be fine. But man, this is looking bad. Okay, starting to believe that this is a bad team. Okay, now this is a bad team. Okay, it's real. That's where I'm at. And when reality is really sinking in, the truth is sinking in, like, believe it. And it's tough to believe when you look at what you have on paper, on this roster, not only from the standpoint of the names, the individuals, but also of what we've seen when this team is putting together some great basketball games, not just great quarters, but when they're putting together those great basketball games. And I just don't know how we got here, but I think we got to believe it. And you can't continue like this. You just can't.
I think we all kind of looked at this home stretch here as like, this is a key point to the season. What were we talking about? The Kings had won three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go back, they had won four of five. They beat Houston 120-111.
Yep.
Lost a really bad game to Memphis. They should have won. Okay.
Yep.
Followed up with a win at San Antonio, home win over Utah, and then they squeaked out a win at New Orleans. You're like, okay, cool. Now you are home. And the big thing we kept talking about is they do not leave California until they play in Boston January 10th. Well, since that time, since they won three in a row, they've dropped five straight all at home. It's brutal to be 6-12 at home. 6-12 at home. And no other team in the league at this point. I'm just doing a quick scan. Oh, my goodness. The Kings are the only team in the NBA with 12 losses at home. Washington, 4-11.
Really?
The Pelicans, 4-12. Okay, they have 12. The Pelicans have
12. Thank God.
The 5-26 Pelicans are 4-12 at home.
Thank God.
Yeah, the Kings, 6-12 at home.
Yep.
And now, like, the separation, we were hanging on to the standings for so long. Well, San Antonio has a 2.5 game lead on them. And that's on for the 11th seed.
You know what's tough about this too? You're seeing how the season for all NBA teams have those ups and downs. Warriors started off strong, and now it's very difficult for this team to find some W's. Pistons, you talk about the way that they start, and then they're getting things together. Those teams that start to find a rhythm together. The Kings have been so choppy and up and down every single week of this NBA season. And I think we are all in this place where we're waiting for that turnaround. We're not idiots. We're not just, you know, blindly going into every single week being like, this could be it. we truly have certain things in front of our face where it's given us hope that you could see it go in this direction with all the different tweaks to the lineup, to seeing some production off the bench, that next man up
and
mentality.
And then this stretch happened.
Yeah. Yep,
just brutal. Something else that I want to ask you about.
Oh, no.
Because we talk about, you know, you hear Mike Brown after the game talk about the pace and how many times we said that. I mean, I watching back at their offense, the last couple of games we did a breakdown on the pregame show. I'm like, okay, like the pace isn't there. The ball movement's not there. In the first half, it really was there. I thought they were playing with great pace. There was more off ball movement. The ball was, it felt like everybody was involved in the action. And the good news was shots were falling. When this goes bad, when the pace isn't there, like Mike said, with like 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, I mean, if Mike's telling these guys and they're not doing it,
yeah,
that's concerning too.
Yeah. No, I mean, shit. Like, yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
Why is that message not connecting with them? Because that for the people that want Mike Brown out,
yeah,
and there's definitely a portion of the fan base, you know, you say, fire Mike Brown, get him out, blah, blah, blah.
Everyone's
blah, blah,
down
blah.
To fire anyone, yeah, trade everyone.
It's the easiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing you could do.
Sure.
So the pushback on that would be like, well, they tuned him out. They're not listening to him because they're not executing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair assumption. I think sometimes, I don't know, the NBA has its own culture, their own way of going about certain things. It's not apples for apples for every organization or with even caliber of players. And I think about this with the way that he disciplines Keon Ellis or even Isaac Jones. When a mistake is being made, your leash is short and you're sitting your ass on the bench. Like, I can understand that. Like, they haven't been in the league that long, they're experienced, blah, 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 whatever. But I also look down the line of some of these other guys, and nobody's LeBron James, nobody's Kevin Durant on this team. Is there not enough discipline or too long of a leash for some of these other guys at times that shouldn't be making these mistakes? And I ask that question because I go, why have we heard about closing out the right way and the fundamentals of a closeout to the fundamentals of a pocket pass and all these different fundamental things from Mike Brown over the last couple of years where these guys should already know that? If they don't know that, well, then there needs to be a different approach to that, whether it is within discipline or not.
It seems like Mike is, you're right, he'll lay into the guys that make the defensive mistakes, right? Or, you know, some of the young guys that maybe pass up an open shot. He did that a lot with Keon and Keegan at points early in their career. But I was telling you before the game, like when we were talking, preparing for this game, I'm like, you know, at some point, you got to start punishing the guys that are not doing what you want offensively.
Yeah.
Like if the pace isn't there, if the ball movement's not there, if the getting in the paint and spraying out's not there, then you got to sit, man. Like
because here's the thing. If you feel like, oh, well, I'm going to get fired if I coach them that way and lose their respect, but you're also going to get fired if they're not doing the right thing. So it's a lose-lose situation. Like, you think Tibbs is in New York, like, not getting on Jalen Brunson or whoever the hell else that you want to mention that's up there on the roster for the New York Knicks that you just like would be like, oh God, you can't do that anywhere else. And he gets on the bad side of everybody. Okay. Well, he's getting the most out of some of these guys. And I guess my point being to that, I feel like Mike Brown has done a good job over the years, having that college mentality. Like, we running, we have practice, we're doing these things. But at the same time, when it comes to the long leash for some of these other, for some of these top players to make these mistakes, whether it's to slow down the offense, a bad pass or whatever it may be. Yeah. I don't know. I think coaching and managing is good in all aspects of the world, whether it's in basketball, in the workplace, as a parent, whatever.
The next thing I wanted to talk about from tonight was Keegan Murray. He got off to a really nice start with 9 points early, attacking the rim with force. Just not making threes again. And You know what? There were some good looks Sacramento also got late this game.
Oh, yeah.
Big three could have helped a major way. He got some awesome looks from three. One at the top of the key, wide open corner. He was 1 of 7 from downtown. 9 points in the first. He finishes with 11. 4 of 11 shooting. Man, I think what's been striking is the inconsistency when it comes to what he does offensively. He's still now in year three, not comfortable trying to break down his guy. That's just not an area of his game. I just never look, unless he's coming off of a screen and getting the ball on the DHO and getting downhill. When he gets the ball just on the catch, it's rare to feel like he's going to make a jab step, make a move, it has
to
cross
be
a,
it has to be created also by a teammate with the, like, he's a willing cutter. Like, he can get a great, like, he was moving with a purpose in that first half, or in that first quarter specifically. He was just moving with a purpose, being a willing cutter. You loved what you were watching, and that's when he was getting the ball. And then he was capitalizing and making things happen off of it. But you're exactly right. There hasn't been too many times, unless the shot clock is winding down, that you see him make a move.
Decisive move. But he's just never comfortable with his handles, ever.
And
it's like, defensively, I like the stuff he does, the rebounding, but it is just so tough to watch where you're like, God, if they just had someone, again, you drafted them fourth overall. You didn't draft them fourth overall to just be like a role player in this league. The hope was that you thought a guy his size can do some real damage, not only with his shooting, but expand his game. He is not comfortable putting the ball on the floor at all. There are just so many times he gets the ball and is like eager to pass or uncomfortable, takes a dribble and like backwards away from the hoop, and then gives up the ball. You know, if he wants to reach his potential, that area of his game just it has to be, because it's below average.
I think it's a confidence thing. I think it's a mentality of just being like, I can dunk on someone's head, I can put the ball on the floor with authority. And I say with authority, I'm talking about, like, again, a hard dribble. Like, his handles can be there, but you have to have the confidence of knowing that you can take someone, that you can make a move without it being poked away. Like, you can't even be thinking like that. You just gotta go. And he can, but he doesn't.
We're in tough times, friends.
We're in tough, dark, numbing times.
And you know what's even sicker?
What?
We've got a large live audience right now.
This is disgusting.
And I know it's not all Kings fans. I know it's not. There's some like NBA fans from around the world. And if you wanted to pop in the chat, let us know. Because I guarantee you're just like, oh, let's just see what these asshole podcasters in Sacramento are saying about their team. Oh, dude, let's watch them in their misery, dude. Oh, this is going to be so cringe. Though, are those the two idiots that do the fog machine?
That's us.
Oh, those are the two idiots who sing Shup and like the beam? Oh, yeah. Where's the beam now, Deuce and Mo?
We know.
You guys are sick, dude. It's fucked up, man.
You're cruel. You're all cruel for being here.
But you could just hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Oh, man. Mr. Ray, I love you guys as a Pistons fan. Troy the Pistons. I knew we had some sick Troy the Pistons fan checking in.
Oh, my God.
You're sick, dude. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
man, dude.
Oh, you got a Heat fan just checking in.
Miami Heat fan going, can I get some De'Aaron Fox?
Spurs fan, same thing.
You got Cavs fan here. I'm a fan of you. Okay. Appreciate you guys.
That's hilarious.
The Pistons, like, and I want to make it clear too, like, we're just crushing the Kings for their execution.
Sure.
And they deserve every second of it. Okay. But the Pistons, I've been so impressed with how they've been playing. I was watching their game against the Lakers, and they're not scared of the moment. They
relentless.
Play with physicality and force. You know, Ron Holland, we saw him with G League Ignite, and he just, young player, super young, but you just see his on-ball pressure. Same with Thompson. Malik Beasley just firing threes left and right. Cade is playing.
Dude, this guy alone is just so fun to watch. And I was having so much fun watching him tonight because they were losing the whole game. And I was like, oh, can't wait to talk about Cade because, man, what a player. But at least we're going to be talking about a Kings win instead. Jaden Ivey coming up big, but yeah, Cade having a huge game.
And it didn't really matter who they put. And he didn't end the night super efficient, 9 of 24, but he was 11 of 12 at the line. He created for his teammates.
It was his ability of getting into the paint, though, and creating for others. Because defenses were having to collapse. Yep. And although he wasn't making his shots, he was getting to the free throw line, and he had 10 assists. You know, so like, even when it wasn't the most efficient game, he was still crushing it. I know.
He's just a big dude. 6'6". And he played, I mean, how many times with Keegan on him? I mean, he bully balled Keegan. Keegan's not a small dude.
No.
Keegan's a good defender, and he bully balled Keegan.
But Cade is not only long, he's strong. He's
broad shoulders. Yeah. Like me, a little bit, you know? Like, people, there a lot of people. Is that Cade's kind of got like a Deuce Mason body.
Is that Cade? No, it's just, oh. What? Ew, when you do that, you have like a double chin, just okay. Like Cade.
Yeah. So anyway, love for the Pistons, and all, of course, for Kings fans who don't realize this,
what?
You know who's an assistant?
Oh yeah,
who's an assistant?
I saw him in the hallway today
on the Pistons. Luke Walton.
He ate this one up.
Wait, so Luke Walton was his final game as head coach was the game where the fan puked on the court against the Jazz. Remember that?
It was against the Jazz. Okay.
Did I tell you my theory on that fan?
No.
I don't know. No one ever discovered who that fan was after.
Are you sure?
He's not around.
So he's a plant.
No.
Okay.
I feel like he either got sent away to rehab or maybe not with us.
Oh my God.
That's my dark conspiracy theory about Puke Guy. How is that guy just disappeared from the face of the earth? You haven't heard from him? No interviews, nothing on social media. The Puke Guy, where is he at? He would have had redemption when they made the playoffs. He's not around.
Wait. Reddit threads haven't even figured out who this man is?
Anyway, no. Puke Guy has not been seen since that game.
Yeah.
Where did he go? I mean, that's got to be a low point for the guy's career, life. He's so drunk at a game that he's puking courtside at an NBA game.
And everyone remembers it witness because protection? It was the last night that Luke Walton was head coach.
Is that crazy?
It's
anyway, Luke Walton.
That's where we are in
was
this
at
season.
And then Luke Walton's at the game. And you know he was just enjoying every moment. But that
enjoying every moment. No, every last couple of minutes in the fourth quarter.
Dude.
Like, not the entire game. But definitely the last couple of minutes. How could you not? Yep.
My God.
Crushing. Soul crushing. That was really hard doing a live post-game show right after.
How about
game.
A live podcast after? Do you think this? That's the other thing. There's a lot of season left. It does not feel like... I just wish there was a glimmer of hope. You know what I mean?
Devin Carter!
To be honest, I am excited for Devin, but it's not. I mean, if Devin Carter is not turning the season,
it's just that's the issue because it's hard for me to act like I'm excited to see him as a player out there. I think he plays bigger than he really is. You know, you saw what he did in his college career, and then he's been working on a shot, all these different things.
Yeah,
but I just don't have any expectations for what it's going to be like when he gets in the game, his first NBA experience on the floor. I'm excited.
We'll talk about it in a minute here. But we should mention we appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight as we try to make sense of what transpired. We got some more thoughts about tonight's game, the news about Devin Carter. If you haven't done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. Post-Christmas is here, so one thing we're going to be doing more on our channel is breaking down other games around the league because we have fans around the NBA. We're trying to grow the NBA portion, too. So I think our first game we're going to break down tomorrow will be Pacers Thunder.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Unless something crazy happens in Sacramento. We got a trade alert or something like that.
Or something happens that Spurs Nets game tomorrow.
Yeah. So anyway, make sure you're subscribed. All it does help our channel grow. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by friends for a Mother Restaurant in Sacramento, 2319 K Street, Morgan. Great place to eat.
Yeah, I'm going to need some Mother tomorrow because it always does make me feel good because it's some of the best food in Sacramento. Local place with Sacramento Kings fans that obviously own Mother. They're great people. It's great food. And right now you can go in before Kings game and get 50% off all drinks. Yeah, you might want to drink up.
Yeah, just go to 2319 K Street in Sacramento. It's an awesome place. We highly encourage you to check out Mother. restaurants. We're also presented by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union, Morgan. We are all one with Golden One. We have to stay together as one.
We really do. We must stay together in these difficult times. But what's so great about Golden One as well, if you just become a member, you can use that QR code right there on the screen to become a member. We've had other listeners become a member, and all the perks you get at Kings games. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I know 15% off all their merch, but also you can win a whole bunch of money. If you get selected just by showing your Golden One Credit Union member card,
might get a lower bowl seat upgrade or any type of prize. You never know what you're going to get, but it pays to be a member at Golden One. So go to goldenone.com to become a member today. Also presented by our friends who are Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows, there's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors.
They've saved me in so many different ways. They've saved me money. They have made me so much warmer in the winter by just actually keeping the heat inside my house. I love the windows. I also have the HVAC system. And yes, so I'm a little obsessed with everything, but I think so many people are so intimidated by looking at possibly getting new windows. Check it out. They always have new deals, and you can get a free quote today.
Yeah, so check out their website, northwestexteriors.com. Trust their experts. They've been there forever. That's northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Morgan, who would be your simply the best player of the game tonight? Would it be Jaden Ivey?
Ooh, Jaden Ivey's a good one.
But Malik Beasley.
Malik Beasley's also a good one, but I think I'm going to go Cade.
That's Cade Cunningham for me. 33 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds in 38 minutes. But you can make a legit case for Malik Beasley, who had 3 threes in the final 2:46 of this one. He ends up knocking down 6 of 11 from downtown for Beasley. Ivy with some big moments, too. He had 19.6 rebounds in this game on 7-13 shooting. But Cade Cunningham are simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Super impactful. Just, I mean, like I said, he was fun to watch, unfortunately.
Next up for the Kings, they play the Lakers, a team that they've lost 3 times to, including 2 really bad ones at home. And then you had the one in LA where Sacramento had the lead in the fourth quarter. LeBron got hot, scored, I believe, 16 points at one point in like 3 minutes. Lakers were on a 21-0 run. A lot of bad losses to the Lakers, and you got to play them right away this time. At crypto.com. At this point, more, I don't know that it really matters who the Kings play, so I don't know what sense it makes to even break down the game. I mean,
oh no, and especially since we just talked about this matchup multiple times in this last week. So, how about when you're going up against a 7-footer, you try not to just go up through them, you find a way to create some space and get a smart shot over them. That would be my breakdown there. And also really quick too, I saw a whole bunch of people saying that they wanted Trey Lyles to be the player of the game. And it's understandable. It was cool to see him come off the bench for the Sacramento Kings. Had 20 points and finished 4-7 from beyond the arc. I mean, some of his threes were really energetic.
Were big. Dude, he had some really nice moments.
Yeah.
And Trey's had a really tough year with injuries in and out of the lineup. His third game back, a season high 20 points in this game. I thought Trey Lyles played well. 20 points, 8 rebounds. He did that in 25 minutes on 5 of 8 shooting. 4 of 7 from 3, 6 of 8 at the free throw line for Trey Bay.
Trey Bay.
I put a poll question up.
What's that?
What should the Kings do? Blow it up, make a big trade with a key piece, or a slight tweak? Right now, early voting, 47% say blow it up completely. where do you stand in this whole conversation with the roster? And, you know, the deadline is not that far away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sneaking up fast. I mean, it's December 26th as we record this. The deadline's February 6th.
I think while you have assets that can be strong enough to really blow it up, but my point would be make a big trade with a key piece.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means necessarily right now at this moment, but you finally have individuals that you could trade for other good individuals. And I think you're in a place where if you decide, you want to keep De'Aaron around and you want to keep building around him, then you go with that. Or if it's you want to keep Domas around and that's your big and you want to keep building around, like, figure out what it is that you want and build around that. Because right now, where you're at, just playing in this middle ground, it's just, it's not good enough. And obviously it's not good enough. But I think about years and years ago, if the Kings had a record like this and we'd be talking about, oh man, but what a great effort, even though they lost this one or whatever it may be. We're so beyond that since the playoff season. And it's not about
the roster and expectations.
Yeah, all the different things that again, it's not about winning a championship next year. It's just about
you just get back to the playoffs.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And like that, if you could stay around there for a little bit until we get to the point that we're going, okay, they've been staying around here and playing in that playoff area over the last couple of years, but we're not even talking about that.
I think for me, when the number I mentioned a little bit ago, just to match next year or last year's win total, you'd have to go 33-18 the rest of the way. A 647 win percentage, unless my mouth is wrong. Yeah, that's daunting to say the least in the West when you've punted so many games on the home floor.
Yep.
Played 18 games at home, you've won 6.
Yep.
I mean, how do you turn this around without shaking it up in a major way? Do you need to dismantle it all the way? Rebuilding's painful, man. I mean, look at the Pistons have gone through this for years, and they're still not out of it, right? They had many lean years where they were having the worst record in the NBA and not getting the number one pick. They had the worst record in the league, best odds to land number one to get Victor, and they, you know, pick 5 or whatever. But you look at some of the young talent on their team, you're like, okay, I see it. They've got some vets that may not be there long term, but they have just enough vets to like help this young group grow together. Who knows what some of these guys look like, but Cade looks like he's going to be an all-star this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Big deal.
He was a number one pick.
Yeah.
All right. You're bad to get him to get number one.
Yeah.
Jaden Ivey, number 5 pick. Thompson, number 5, right? Holland, number 5. There's some intriguing young talent here. And Sacramento doesn't have like an army of first round picks. You cannot tell me that trading a first round pick, if you're Sacramento, to try to like get someone like Cam Johnson or multiple picks makes sense. You're the hole is, it's so big to dig out of at this point. And with now this Fox thing that is just looming large, let's be honest, like there's enough smoke out there. We saw the story last week. Mm-hmm. Like if there is a debate whether or not he wants to be here or if they want to commit to him long term, I think this is probably a conversation that they more wanted to address in the offseason, but maybe this is fast-tracked a little bit with where the season is headed. You know, someone like DeMar DeRozan. You know, DeMar DeRozan didn't come to Sacramento to be 13-18.
No.
His old team right now that he left, you know what their record is?
What is it?
13-18. The Bulls are 13-18 right now.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the things you have to start thinking about. And I didn't think the season was headed this way.
No, you definitely didn't.
What does that mean?
We're not. No, I don't want to make you depressed.
Oh, because I was slightly optimistic.
Deuce.
Yeah.
You were so optimistic. So optimistic. And we don't even need to talk about it right now because we're in dark times and we don't need to like make it worse.
I'm not the only one who thought that they could be really good this year.
What was really good? What's the number that you had them winning?
I said there's...
But I never said this.
I said their ceiling, if I were to put a number on it. I think I said that their ceiling... I'm really trying to think about this one more.
You shouldn't be thinking so hard.
Because I don't remember. Can you remind me? What did I say?
You said...
What?
You said their ceiling was... 52 wins.
I don't know if I said that.
And it could have been higher.
No, I definitely did not go higher.
Okay.
I did not.
Thank God.
I don't think I said I think they could win 50 games, right?
No. And you said their ceiling was 52. And
I said I think it'd be a 4 seed.
You did.
They go 4.
You did.
You know, Kenny Caraway said the floor for this team was 52.
No, Kenny. And your breakdown to me of why you thought it could be there, you were like, Morgan, it's because they won 46 with that roster last year and the addition of DeMar DeRozan. Why couldn't they be a 50-win team? And I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you were making a prediction that you believed it.
I only say what I believe.
Shocking.
By the way, Chad's backing me up saying I said 50. I don't know if I said 52. So whatever. I said 50.
Whatever.
But guess what? It looks a bit off right now.
Yeah. Either way, the Kings
would have to win 37 games the rest of the way. They have to go 37 and 14 or something the rest of the way.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, I you're right. I thought 46 last year. You had DeMar, and that it's just been clunky.
Someone was
asking me before the game, like, what do you think about DeMar Sacramento? And I'm like, I think there's a rush to pin it. Like, this is why the Kings are bad this year is because DeMar was added, and has to be why. And I just to me, there's just so many factors at play here that I don't think that's the reason. I do think DeMar's flipped fit. There have been moments I've been like, dude, I see it. It's coming together. The pace. And then there are moments it looks so clunky. And there are moments you go, he looks 35. I think it's easy to poke holes in the DeMar pickup
now because
it's not working. But I'm like, dude, there was no real sign of him going down. I mean, even now he's still able to score. He's still able to get buckets. I just think this team had so many weaknesses going into the offseason. One of them was getting a guy that can go get them a bucket for sure. And they re-signed Monk, which is big, and they got DeMar, but just because that was a weakness doesn't mean it was the weakness. And everyone from Sacramento outside of Sacramento knew that size, wing, length, athleticism was going to be a major problem if it wasn't addressed, and they did not do it.
And I think you just look around the league and, you're not fully matching what you're going up against. We talk about threes in that playoff year, living or dying by the three, having the fast-paced game, living or dying by offense, really. And there was something about it that was going to work. Was it sustainable? Obviously not. No. Where I thought maybe could it be? But no, it wasn't going to be. But you look around the league and other people that live or die by the three, the Boston Celtics, they're making three.
Yeah, they're elite. They have elite 3-point shooters.
That's the thing.
And they have two guys that are stars.
And then you go around the league and you go, oh, okay, well, what about size? Every other team around the league has length. Every single time the Kings are playing a team, we always talk about how, this length around the perimeter is going to be such a challenge for De'Aaron or for Kevin or for whoever, because it always feels like a hand is in the face and the 3-point defense just gets that much better. Either way, they're in a place where they got to make some changes, and it sucks to be in that place, because then I think it just, this dark cloud goes over this very happy team. I think this team has so many good humans on it, and they all work well together, and they all keep playing together through the adversity. So it sucks when you do see this. It's just, it's life.
Yeah. And that's, that's probably also one of the problems too.
Yeah.
It's like, you shouldn't be happy. You shouldn't be happy when you lose three games in a row. There's expectations. There's got to be some fire and some, some vocal leadership from a player perspective, calling guys out when shit is going bad. You see the great teams do that. I'm seeing Kevin Durant get on his teammates if something is bad is going on with the game. I see him yell at Nurkic and then encourage him. That's just part of it. You can love someone and still go at them. It's for the good. It's for the good, right? As long as you're not just going at guys and being an asshole.
Yeah.
It's doing it the right way. I mean, it's leadership. I don't know what to say. Do you want it or do you not want it? Do you want to win or do you want to just accept losing and accept these results? Morgan, Kings could be getting some sort of spark soon. The good news, there's one shred of good news out of all this today. Their rookie first round pick, Devin Carter, cleared for basketball activities. Sound like when he had this the shoulder surgery over the offseason in July, mm-hmm. that maybe he wasn't going to be reevaluated until January. Well, he progressed a little faster, I guess. He's been playing with coaches, a lot of three-on-three. Now he's cleared for basketball activities, and they assigned him to the Stockton Kings. There's probably a good chance he ends up playing for the Stockton Kings this weekend. They play Saturday in Sacramento, and then they play Sunday in Stockton. Good chance for him to get some minutes. And like at this point, like he adds something that you lack big time. That's some pop, some athleticism, some yeah. energy. Defensively, just an absolute dog. You know, he is 6'3".
And has never played in the NBA.
But having him back is better than not having him. And I'm just excited for him to start making his way back. Because, look, with the way that this King season's had, he may be playing a lot.
Well, that one. But also, you know, you've seen people throughout tonight when we've mentioned Devin Carter. You know, he's not changing the season. We know. People understand that. He's not going to save this King season. But at the same time, when you are looking at some of the positives and you haven't seen this guy play and he's your draft pick, your first round draft pick, of course you want to see him out there. And it's really cool and good for him for fighting through and finally getting to this point, and he's going to see the NBA floor soon.
Well, if he plays like he did in college, he's going to play with physicality.
Yeah.
He's going to fight through screens. He can defend multiple positions. He can recover and contest and block shots. He's a lob threat. He's got a funky-ass three-point shot. It dropped really at a high rate last year. What can he be for the Sacramento Kings? Who knows? The reality is he's going to start in the G League to get, you know, some reps.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in a college game or in a game since March.
Yep. That's where we're at. But again, optimistic that that news came out and he'll be getting back or just getting on the NBA floor soon.
Mike says, oof, we're in talent evaluation mode already. Yeah, I mean, it's news today. Whether the Kings lost or won tonight, Devin yeah. Carter thing was definitely news. So we're not going to be there Saturday for the game in Sacramento because we're doing Kings Lakers pre and post for NBC Sports California. But we'll be calling if he plays Sunday in Stockton, we'll be on the call for that game. So I'm excited to see him potentially in person. But, you know, he's the type of player that can bring juice to a game. Like just based on what I saw, I liked him before the draft. I just saw how tough he plays and his length and athleticism. These are things that you need on your team. I feel like he could help. Now, again, yes, I know the team's 13. I mean, you've listened to this podcast tonight. You know how I feel.
That's where we're at.
You know, at this point, I want some dogs. I want some nasty. I want someone that's not going to be afraid to mix it up. I want someone that's going to talk some shit. And I want someone that's going to hold their teammates accountable.
There you go.
After doing the Kings Pacers podcast with Brendan, I didn't think we'd be having a new low point very next game.
I know. I'm so glad I was on a flight for that podcast. Juice. I'm so sorry.
I'm just bummed. I'm bummed. It's the stages I have felt tonight. I think a lot of anger. Have I felt anger tonight? Yeah, I've been fired up.
You got angry during the podcast. I don't think you were angry on the post game show.
Disappointment, angry, and now I've reached. Now we're winding down. Like, just feeling bad for Kings fans, dude.
Like numbness, shock.
I mean, how many times have we said this? It's just like this fan base. I was next to a friend before the game, and I was like, dude, this atmosphere is insane. Like, this team has lost four in a row at home. The Pistons are in town the day after Christmas, and before the game, Scott Freshour is getting all the fans into it, and the place was legitimately super loud.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there going, this atmosphere is special.
It is.
How do you lose games here?
Dude, there's,
you know,
and then there's fans from Brazil that we met.
Oh my God.
Fans from Dubai and Tokyo. There's other fans there. I think they were from New Zealand that we didn't get to meet them. But But we met so many fans that come from all over, especially around the holidays. And it's incredible. Like, what their commitment and loyalty to this team. And it's just heartbreaking that that is what they ended up getting tonight.
Tonight and, I don't know.
I know.
Over 40 years.
Jesus.
Super Chats. James says, love you both and all you do. Sorry we're all going through this. Looking forward to a new year and possibly a revamped Kings team. That's a very optimistic message.
Thanks, James.
I appreciate that. Bad News Sour Grapes donates $5. Question for both of you. What do you guys think of Fox's post-game comments? Is that how a leader leads? Not sure, but big losing streak is possible now. I mean, they're already to a 5-game losing skid. We did touch on this, so you might have sent this earlier on before we touched on the Fox presser. Yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, I was disappointed that that was his reaction. And everybody handles losing differently. Everyone in the moment, you know.
And he hasn't done that in a while. And sure. That's why.
But when these moments, people are looking at you in these big moments. Oh, yeah. Adversity is here. How do you handle it? That was not how you handle it. That's not how a leader handles things. He's better than that. And if you're not better than that, that's a really tough look, especially after what's gone down the last couple of weeks. Marcus says, definitely Fox's fault. No reason to be in gap help. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have been playing off Jay and Ivy.
Oh, yeah, that was
a brutal sequence.
Awful.
Astralite says donates $2 and trade Fox and let Devin Carter start. Jacob says, Deuce, the only cure for a beamless and crappy bartending shift is Deuce and Mo. Merry Christmas, guys. Appreciate that, Jacob.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Jacob.
The love.
Deuce, yeah. How, like, if it was, because I mentioned this on the postgame show too. I was like, you know, you and I, we're very passionate when it comes to broadcasting, having a good show, having a good podcast, whatever. We're not going to be perfect. We're human.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, not going to be perfect. He's human, all the different things. If you were put in that situation after, remember the time when the cameras were following us after Malik Monk went down, the Kings lose to Dallas, and we just felt like it, we just felt down. I guess my point is, I don't know if I was meant for greatness at times, because I don't know how I would handle these certain situations, like if a mic being put in front of my face, like whatever. But I expect people who are so great in so many different ways, like De'Aaron Fox, to just be different. My expectations for him as a human are so much higher than they are for me if that situation was me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's,
and like, I don't know if that's mean to myself, but like, I just know, like, he's capable of answering these questions and being a leader. And we've seen it, the growth over the years. And that's where I'm just like,
I've said long ago, I think if I was an athlete, I would probably be an ass to the media a lot.
Okay.
Just because questions sometimes from reporters suck.
Sure.
There's just not many good questions. That question tonight was like, yeah, it's going to be asked.
Break it down. Absolutely. Break it down.
It's tough. It's tough. But this is why you get paid millions of dollars. And part of the thing is being able to talk to the media, even during moments that just suck. And that's a moment, you know, you look back at film during a game and go, oh man, I'd love to have that moment back. That's a post-game interview that you want to have back where you go, I should have just been like, I fucked up. You know, I shouldn't have been playing off Ivy in that situation. Just walk us through what you're thinking, you know? And
even if it's hard.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, take that breath.
Yeah, yeah. Or just be like, here's why I was fine with it. I thought I was going to cheat over just in case, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know why you would, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just own it either way. Own it. That's one of the biggest things. Own it. Own your truth. If your truth is, nah, I was fine with that and here's why, okay, own it. If you can sit there and say, I made a mistake, just own it and explain why. It goes such a long way. When you're dismissive about it, you have to remember that microphone, when you're sitting there answering reporters' questions, it's not just the reporters in the room that are hearing it, right?
Uh-huh.
They are asking because they're covering your team, and that is being distributed to fans around the world via articles, tweets, YouTube channels, press conferences, NBA League Pass, you are speaking to them. Yeah. And so when you make those type of mistakes, you're like, you're dismissive. It's a tough look.
You know,
it's a very tough look.
And it is funny because now that I think about it, it's like, well, maybe I would step up. Maybe I would show up and know what to say, because I literally told a young sideline reporter at the G League Winter Showcase, I was like, I don't give a shit if you're sick. I don't give a shit if something's going on in your life. You have a mic in front of your face, you show the fuck up. Yep. And she's like, I'll never forget that line from you. And it's true. Like, you put in the prep, do your work, do whatever you need to do. And like, even if a producer is screwing up in your ear, your IFB loses battery pack, whatever it is, control what you can control and be great. Or, you know, just say what you need to say and just be ready for the moment is what I'm trying to say. I guess so. Yeah.
And Mike, Mike Brown, you heard him in the post game, man. Like, that is calling out your team and Fox at a level that doesn't happen very often in today's game.
Sure.
It doesn't. I mean, he kind of challenged him, a couple, like last week when, you know, he was talking about how they need more from him. Has he stepped up since then with that in that area? Man. We'll get through this together. I had some other topics I want to hit on too, and now it just feels like it's so stupid to even touch on them.
Don't hit on them.
Kings this week have LA. No, I'm just saying the schedule. Kings take on the Lakers Saturday. They're home for Dallas on Monday. No Luka. He's going to be out an extended period of time, but Kyrie is Kyrie. Mavs still tough. Then they take on the Sixers and then the Grizzlies. 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, that if you lose all those games, that's a 9-game skid. Remember?
No, I'm not.
Our first year doing the podcast, we'd had 2 9-game losing skids. Yeah. Man. Let's get to some final thoughts, Morgan. There's going to be a lot of time to dissect stuff, and I'm sure, you know, we'll have everything covered, but
yeah.
Let's get to some final thoughts.
Final thought. I hope a night like this is just a learning moment for De'Aaron in his 8th year in the league, and just like seeing how important it is, whether it's on the court, off the court, you make sure you're great, because he's capable of it in both ways. And I just want to see it. I want to see it for him. I want to see it for his career.
Yeah, this tonight was his 500th game with the Sacramento Kings, too.
Wow.
I mean, he's up there now with, like, Peja. Jason Thompson is another guy that spent a lot of time here. So, you know, he's moved up the ranks. De'Aaron had 1 point in the first half. He finished this game, though, with 26. He did make some big plays late. Like, I gotta, you know, we piled on him a lot tonight. But
that three, that step back three on nice. Jaden Ivey. But
then he took a bad one after, you know.
I know.
Yeah. Final thoughts for me. It's a bummer, man. I hate feeling this way. I was very excited about this season, like a lot of Kings fans, and it feels like every time you reach a low point, it just there's like another one, and you're just like, come on, man. Like, I just want so badly for this team to, like, dig out of it and be competitive and fun, because we felt so much fun in that first year when they snapped the drought, 48 wins, and the magic, the style of play, the almost never give up attitude they had then, you know, like finding a way. It seems insane that some of the people on this team were part of a team that beat the Clippers 176 to 175. In one of the craziest games in NBA history, when Kawhi and Malik and Paul George, like all these guys are just so going off, right? It just seems like, wait, that was the same team.
That was something.
And the magic has just been like totally zapped. It's like, it's just not there. It's not the same team. It's not the same style of play. And it's just, man, it's such a bummer. You know, you just felt like they had something. And although they were flawed in that year, you're like, well, they're building towards something. And it just seems like it's just vanished. It's like that was just a one-off. And man. Yeah. Yeah. It bums me out. It's just it's Kings fans are legit, and I just want for once this area to have a team that could see sustained success. And doesn't look like that's gonna be the case, you know. And I like to say this too. I predicted they'd win 50 games this year, and people will make fun of that. I would love nothing more to be made fun of tonight. You're like, oh my God, dude, you said they couldn't go 33-18 to match last year's. They won 40 games the rest of the way, you idiot. They made a big trade and turned it around. You suck. You said, please, I hope I'm wrong. Just not seeing it. And it's even more of a bummer that it's happened at home.
Like you said, I love this team. I love this community. And I just want the best for everybody. I want the best for everybody. We all deserve.
Yeah, I feel like we've literally gone through all the stages of grief. I'm not bargaining though. I'm not even trying to like sell myself. Like, well, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, I'm just, it is what it is now, you know, if it expectation, I think everyone's expectations have been lowered to as low as they can get right now.
Hey, we're going to watch some fun basketball tomorrow. We'll have some NBA to just talk about tomorrow, not Kings related.
Yep.
Hopefully and not.
We'll, you know what? We'll get through this together because that's what we do.
We've done it before.
Make sure you're in the YouTube comments after. Comment with your thoughts on what we had to talk about tonight, what you think the Kings should do long term, whether you're a Kings fan or an NBA fan. Hit us in the comments below. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we got to go.
Thank you so much for being here. You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from Geico for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big Geico surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with Geico commercial insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.